I think they're really attuned to the needs in a holistic way, and that's what's manifest in that ESD. So I guess with that, I would just say I urge your support for the ESD, and I know PG is very happy to have be a supporter of the ESD. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Heather Hale, and I'm the Executive Director of Venture Portland. As you know, Venture Portland is the support organization for the city's 50 unique neighborhood business districts, including the Central East Side. At Venture Portland, we know that the business of Portland is about more than just business. It's about people, neighborhoods, and culture. It's about passion and dedication and implementing innovative ideas. It's about a vision for our city that business owners, residents, and government officials share. Neighborhood businesses drive Portland's economy. They also support our community by providing half of Portland's jobs and contributing to local charities at more than twice the rate of national chains. In fact, in 2018, Portland's nonprofit neighborhood business associations donated more than $100,000 to other local charities citywide, while neighborhood businesses collectively contributed more than $1 million to help keep Portland a safe and wonderful place to live, work, and play for all. And we're all here today because Central East Side businesses are offering to do even more. I expected nothing less from a district filled with creatives, makers, and entrepreneurs. I'm excited about this innovative ESD and the precedent it sets for Portland's other all-volunteer neighborhood business districts. On behalf of Venture Portland and neighborhood business districts citywide, I strongly urge you to approve Central East Side's proposed enhanced services district. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Commissioner Fritz wanted to make a comment.
Before we start public testimony, I just want to make sure that we all understand what the testimony is on today, because what is on the table today is very different, significantly improved, in my opinion, compared with a month ago and what you may have read about in the papers a month ago. So here are some, and as you all remember, I've been very involved in helping people who live outside in the Central East Side and tried with Right to Dream 2 to establish a permanent rest area there several years ago. And we've come a long way since those days, and I really appreciate the work of the Central East Side Industrial Council to consider new approaches to addressing the challenges in their district. So some of the changes that I want to make sure that you know about, the safety ambassadors will be unarmed. They will. A crisis worker will be embedded with the safety ambassadors during a portion of their service hours. They will have uniforms that don't look like your regular security uniforms. There'll be 12 hours of Central East Side safety certification training upon hire and every 6 months, plus 4 hours of additional training every month, co-facilitated by housed and houseless trainers. Training must be trauma-informed, provided by experts in the field, and contain, at a minimum, first aid, conflict resolution, de-escalation techniques, mental health crisis response, trauma-informed interventions, social service safety net referrals, and the certification for the Central East Side cleaning protocols. The committee, the Safety for All Committee, will have at least 3 houseless individuals on it, and they will establish a Central East Side situational protocol that will be provided to all safety ambassadors, instructing them when to call the police. Any police contacts will result in a quarterly report to the Safety for All Oversight Committee. And the Oversight Committee will be made up of a diverse set of stakeholders, including social service providers, nonprofit leaders, houseless advocates, and others. And then finally, there's going to be a public request for information for this ambassador services contract, so that those individuals will have the opportunity to weigh in on who should get this contract. And there is commitment to look for a new site for a rest area, similar to Right to Dream 2, and to find a spot that would be first suitable for overnight and or day services within the Central East Side. And then there are going to be 3 representatives of houseless individuals on the board. Many of these changes were included in the Compassionate Chains District and the things that those folks were advocating for. So, as I say, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that I appreciate the work that was done by the Compassionate Chains District in informing everybody, and that this is a significantly different proposal.
Very good. So we have how many people signed up, Carla?
48 now.
48. So we'll make it 2 minutes each. Name for the record. We don't need an address or anything like that. I want to be crystal clear. We need you to finish in 2 minutes. Don't make me the microphone cop. We need to keep moving because we have a long agenda for the rest of the day. So come on up. And by the way, if you know that you're going to say exactly the same thing that somebody else is going to say, and you don't necessarily need to come up, but you can give a thumbs up if you approve, thumbs down if you don't approve. If you want to come and stand behind somebody, that's fine as well. Whatever is your preference. Go ahead and call the first three, Carla.
Were we going to take people with disabilities
first? Yeah, thank you for reminding me, Carla. People with small children or disabilities, come on up first or let Carla know, and we'll make sure you're accommodated.
We'll go with Mr. Walsh. And then the next two are Courtney Ranstrom and Emery Teskew, I believe it is, or Taskin.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Lots of sugar words used today, but this is a sweep. You're going to spend 48% of the budget sweeping the homeless. That's what you're going to do. You can say you're going to walk alongside them, you're going to sing Kumbaya, you're going to sing Trump loves everybody. I don't believe it. This is a scam. We have anecdotal information that in Montevilla, they're raiding the camps. They're knocking them down. That's what they're doing. And St. John's, they're racist when they come in. They're screaming racist stuff to the homeless. You, Mayor, have been asked for 2 years. Hales was asked for 4 years. And Sam Adams was asked for 4 years to put trash cans in those camps. You do what Trump does. You create a situation of no trash so people have no place to put it, so it goes on the ground, and people get arrested, and they lose all their stuff, including their identifications, and they die. That's what this says. You murdered them by taking their stuff, and now you did such a good job on the west side. Let's go to the east side. You're going to spend $1.8 million on this crap, wiping out the sidewalks. How in God's name do you look in the mirror? Every year we tell you 50, 60, 80, 100 people die. I know the low figures.
Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. You're out of order. Mr. Walsh, you're out of order. You are out of order. I'm warning you, or you will be excused. You're running into other people's time.
Go to hell! Don't even get close to me.
Morning. I'm Courtney Shannon.
I'll continue where Joe left off. You got a letter a couple of months back. Do you remember from the Human Rights Commission? You were cited on international, local, and state violations on human rights for the way you treat the houseless. Did you even read it, Ted?
This is out of order. You are not speaking on subject. I'm ruling you out of order. Next.
I am speaking on
next. Next. Excuse me. Carla, cut off her microphone. You are not speaking to the subject. Next individual. Next individual. Go ahead. You are not speaking to the subject. You heard the rules right up front as the presiding officer. I'm ruling you out of order. Yes. Please go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor and Council members. Bet you wish you were back on Everest, eh? My name is Courtney Ranstrom, and my daughters attend Escuela Viva. In July, we got a call from Escuela Viva. While digging in the dirt at school, Eliza, our preschooler, had cut herself on a discarded Gillette razor. I knew communicable diseases were a risk, so I immediately called her pediatrician's office to find out the protocol for this situation. Her doctor asked us to bring her in where they did a blood draw. Eliza was 3 and essentially required what we adults would refer to as an STD test. Thankfully, she was fine, but this never should have happened. The sheer amount of garbage, drug paraphernalia, and human waste on our streets, as well as in and around our school, is unacceptable. Escuela Viva's amazing teachers sweep the yard every day before the kids go outside. But as we learned, it's impossible to find everything. I don't want any more parents getting a call like we did. Children do not have agency. They are completely reliant on adults to provide a safe environment. For this reason, children's needs must come first. I'm not just saying this as a parent. I've long believed that children, as our most vulnerable members of society, must come first. My family lives just half a mile from Escuela Viva. I also work in the neighborhood. We walk our 1- and 4-year-old daughters to and from school every day. I have steered our stroller around needles, garbage, and sometimes people who clearly need help, though I'm in no position to provide it while I'm also caring for my young children. We talk about what it means to be houseless and how life can be hard, that for some people, difficult circumstances and a lack of safety net can mean the difference between sleeping under a roof and sleeping on the street. I'm not angry with our houseless community members. I want to help. I recognize that my life has been far more privileged than many, but I'm exhausted. I have compassion fatigue. I'm grateful to Angie, Escuela Viva, and the Central East Side Industrial Council for its compassion for the people who live and work in the Central East Side. I want our houseless community members to be treated with the respect and compassion they deserve. I want them to be able to get the housing and services they need, which is a bigger issue than I can even begin to address today. But I need our children to be safe in our neighborhood, and for that we need your help. I urge you to approve our enhanced services district. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Emery Taskin, Owen Ron Kelly, and Wade Lang. I'm sorry, Maggie, are you going up for?
I'd like to.
Are you on the list?
You did sign up. Are you?
Am I?
Then go sign up, and we'll put you at the end of the list, just like everybody else.
I'll call your name when I...
Oh, she has signed up.
Right now we're looking for Emery, Owen, and Wade.
I'll let the clerk sort it out. She's the expert. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Owen Ron Kelly,
and I serve as staff to the Lloyd ESD in the Lloyd neighborhood. The Lloyd ESD was started in 2001. We have 125 affected properties there, and we have a 99% compliance rate with the assessment. And we're very proud of that. Annually, we generate $475,000, which is small in comparison to what the Central East Side is looking at. But we feel that we're very efficient with those funds, and we use those funds to support prioritized programs for our neighborhood. And those include transportation, public safety, sustainability, community support, and advocacy. We've reinvested $5.5 million over the 18 years of our existence, and we feel like we've really benefited from the public-private partnerships that we pride ourselves in. We work daily with the city, county, TriMet, and Prosper Portland to achieve our common goals together. We're very pleased with the success that we've had over the years, and we want that same success for the Central East Side, and that's why I'm here to support their application for an ESD, and we look forward to working with them in the future.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Wade Lang with American Assets Trust and treasurer of the Lloyd Enhanced Service District, and came in today to urge the support and approval of the Central East Side ESD. Originally, I was going to offer our experience and knowledge in ESDs and Lloyd and share our successes with Central City, but watching their presentation and listening to them speak and reading the documentation, I'm excited to work with them and learn from them. I'm really impressed with what they put together, and I urge your support in passing the ESD. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
I just want to say that... Is that better?
Just put your name in the record.
Oh, Maggie. I just want to say that, some of the religious and non-religious shelters and homeless people are not anti-business. They're pro-housing. There's this idea, I think, that homeless people don't want anyone to prosper. And that's not true. They just need to have their basic human needs met. bathrooms, laundry. None of these places have laundry. Salvation Army, their disabled bathroom was closed for years. You know, there's all the MRSA, the bed bugs and the lice in there. Everybody's crammed in. The religious organizations have discovered this funding stream. If we find a little piece of land and build a little shelter, which doesn't have to be regulated because federal policy says it doesn't, and state policy say they don't have to be regulated, so they don't have to meet any human rights criteria or civil rights criteria, then we get this big funding stream. We get $3 million from Columbia. We get all sorts of corporate dollars to come into our church. And we can write out these anti-transgender, anti-LGBTQ, anti-abortion, misogynist tracts all around and treat people like caca. And that's why they don't want to go into the shelters, because there's nothing there to serve them anymore.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, can I just make a comment? We're all going to be together for a long time today, and can I just tell you from the perspective of people sitting up here, there are two things we're interested in hearing. One is, do you support the substitute ordinance or not? And if, whether you do or you don't, are there things you'd like to see changed? That's what this hearing is about. We can go off on and talk about things at a very high level. We can talk about peripheral issues, but we're not really honoring this hearing unless we focus on the issue at hand. And I think it's unfair to constantly put the mayor in the position of having to be the cop who monitors how people testify. We're all knowledgeable about the issues that brought people here today. We've been reading emails. We understand the issues. Do you support it or not? And do you have suggestions for improvements or not? That would be enormously helpful, because we're actually having a markup today. I mean, it's not directed to you, Maggie. I'm just saying to those who follow, because you're finished, is that would be enormously helpful as you testify. So with that as guidance.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Mayor.
Thank you, all three of you. Commissioner Hardesty. Then Commissioner Udaly. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say that, you know, when you have been an activist for as long as some people have been an activist, people forget to see when they win. And so I want to acknowledge that we're actually at a space where we are so much better than what the first vision was that got us into this room. The fact that people were willing to take a few extra weeks to make sure that we had checks and balances built in makes me really, really proud of who would have thought I'd be proud of an enhanced service district, right? But I am. And so I want to ask the activists in the audience to actually listen to where we are today as compared to where we started from. Because we are head and shoulders away from where we started. And I am committed, just like I know my colleagues are committed, to following this process to make sure that this really does become a model that we as a city can be proud of. So please keep that in mind while you're providing public testimony today. I think that might help you realize that you've actually won. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Commissioner Udaly.
Well, thank you, Mayor, and Commissioner Hardesty, and Commissioner Fish for those comments. I would just like to add that I know that this room is not the most welcoming or hospitable room. It is intimidating to be in here and to come forward and give testimony. And when you've waited this long to say your piece, you don't want to give up on that. But I just want to kind of reiterate what Commissioner Hardesty said. Three of our offices have been very actively involved in helping facilitate the conversations between businesses and community advocates. And I believe all of our offices, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I believe this will pass. I believe the businesses, the advocates, and the council are very supportive of this plan. And as Commissioner Fish said, what we need to hear today is, do you support this plan or not? And either way, do you have anything to add? Either a criticism of something that's in it or something that's not in it. We have a packed agenda. We're three items in. We really need to get through this and get to the vote. Thank you.
Very good. Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Lightning, Sandra Amolo, I believe it is, and Ibrahim Mubarak. And they'll be followed by Jeff Lidicote, Sandra Comstock, and Dan.
Good morning.
My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity. Although I agree with the Industrial East side that they have a lot of heart on this issue, here's my problem. I'm going to go against it. Somebody came up here and said, I'm really impressed that the people of the Industrial East side would actually tax themselves. Now, that's what my position is. This is a tax. I want a public vote. I want everyone to have a right to vote on this. This has been challenged in San Diego, as you know, and I'm going to challenge this. I'm the one that went against the Lloyd and said, you can't be funding a DA out of this. It's a conflict of interest. I stood up against the DAs, and I don't see that in this agreement here. I don't see any money going to a DA or their office, and let me tell you, if it is, I'm going to stand right in front of the DA's office and I'm going to say, guess what? You show me that private agreement you have with the BID. You show me that agreement on the ESD. Show me their agreement. And my point is on this is that this has been challenged in other states. You're going to lose. And who am I going to blame now if there's really problems in certain areas? I go to the city and I look at you elected officials, hold you accountable and say, get out of your chairs. You're not doing the job. So what you're going to do is say, you contact BID now. It's their problem and they'll handle it. Too much power within the landlords. Too much power to the elites. Too much power to these people on the east side. It's not going to happen. I'm going to challenge it. I will shut you down in court. This is a tax scheme, and it'll be proved as a tax scheme. So get ready. I'll shut you all down, and that goes for you too, Lloyd. Remember my name, Lightning, because the storm is on its way. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning, commissioners and mayor. My name is Sandra, and I represent Volst Workers' Rights Education Project. Our organization has been a neighbor in the Central East Side for the last 20 years. As you had seen in the presentation from the CIC, they championed the fact that they helped create Volst as an organization. And I just want to highlight that that process was much like this one, where the community had to pressure businesses in the organization to not view our constituents as nuisances, but as people who contributed to the vitality of the Central East Side. And so we are proud of the work that the commissioner, the mayor, the city council has put forth in order to put our voices up front, but we're still concerned by some elements of the proposal that has been put forth, primarily the fact that majority of the funds in the ESD are geared toward private security. The CIC is touting their work with Northwest Enforcement, and as an organization working with St. Francis Church, who recommended us to collaborate with Northwest Enforcement, we have not seen the trauma-informed response that they continue to discuss. We see folks who are not prepared to engage with houseless folks, who are not bilingual, who don't have a culturally based response. And that's a huge concern for us. The people that we serve require people who understand where they're coming from, who are willing to provide services that are peer-based or peer-run, and are willing to work with them to get them to those services, not to connect them to the police. The history in Portland is clear that we need to focus on and support people who are dealing with these issues, and we cannot support a proposal that's focusing on security and policing our communities. That does not make us feel safe. That does not make us feel included. And until those terms are changed, we cannot support the ESD as proposed.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner. My name is Ibrahim Mubarak. I've been a houseless activist for over 21 years. And if you pardon me a moment while I get off my tuffet.
Happy birthday, Commissioner.
Ibrahim, we can't hear you, which means we can't.
I just wish her happy birthday. That's okay. I learned that dance.
That was
from
pretty
Nick
good. That was pretty good.
We should all get up and dance.
Okay.
No, not me.
I'm neither for or against it until I see some more improvement. My concerns is the lapse of time that the city and will help find a safe camp spot for the houseless community. And we've been waiting for about 4 years since Brad Mawson and his crew supposed to find us one, and that's people is dying now. My concerns is that the grassroots organizations like Right to Survive won't get into this bid to pick people in the houseless community. It'll go to the academic organizations who don't have really the contact with houseless people. Where Right to Dream 2, I'm proud of the statistics. When I was there 2 years ago, over 400 people got housed, 450 people found work, 88 people went back to school, 33 people stopped using drugs, some got hired at Central City Concern for their trash pickup. 18 women kept their baby, and we had that success all by people, peer ran, not peer based operation. And also, the crime went down in Old Town Chinatown, and when we left, crime went up. And I'm concerned who would get those grants to help that. I'm also concerned on do we get to pick the houseless community instead of the academic picking the people that live in the streets and not going to their services. I'm concerned about the policing, that how would they get the sensitivity training? Would they get training from grassroots organizations, or would they get training from the police themselves? I have more, and I know I have to go. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mubarak.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mayor. Ibrahim, I know because we've been in conversations with Central Eastside Industrial Council that they have a strong desire to hire houseless people as part of their security team, as part of the community cleanup team, as trainers to make sure that people are using trauma-informed practices and their interaction with the community. And I know that you can't put all those words into a contract, but I'm watching the Central East Side Industrial Council members who are in the audience nodding their head up and down because they remember those same conversations. Mm-hmm. I believe them. I believe that they want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Having 3 to 4 houseless people on the board actually gives you a good group of people to actually push to make sure that these commitments are kept. And so you're not for or against. So I want to say, based on what I've just reminded you of, do you believe that this could be a model that we would want to actually implement, not just in the Central East Side, but in other locations?
Of course. This is setting precedents, whether when they do it good or bad, but we want to make sure they're doing a good thing and including the grassroots organizations such as Right to Survive.
And so you do know that that is the desire, right?
That desire. Yes. I have desires to eat.
So would you feel more comfortable if we invited you and Right to Survive and Central East Side Industrial Council, say, to come back in November and give us a report back on how well you're working?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, that was just a question.
Okay. We can meet. Thank you, Nick Fish.
So I'm seeing people's hands go up and down.
I say yes.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's what it's going to take, right? Okay. We're not going to fix all the nitty-gritty right here at this meeting today.
Right.
But if people with good hearts and goodwill are willing to do the hard work to put it together, we've got your back, right?
Good. Okay. Right. Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Next three, please.
Are Jeff Lidicote, Sandra Comstock, and Dan. And they'll be followed by Danielle Clock, Taylor Cass Talbot, and Diana Rempe.
Morning.
Okay, so Jeff's not Morning. Here. Let's go ahead and go with Dan or
yes.
Danielle
All right,
Clock.
I'll kick it off. Hi, my name is Dan Trifone. I run the Clark Center, which is the largest shelter in the Central East Side. It's a 91-bed men's shelter. I've also been an active member of the Compassionate Change District. And I had written a long letter here in dissent of this, and I was thinking about what Commissioner Hardesty said about the win. So I'll just say my two main concerns. One is this still is shuffling people around as it stands. Without a hard commitment to a place for folks to go that is going to be safe, besides my shelter and City Team and Jean's place, which are completely overburdened. So without that hard commitment to a safe place, this still is just going to be that continued shuffling around. So that's what this needs to me, to be realistic. Or it's just going to be the status quo and a really great presentation, but you know, that's where I'm at. But it is a win, and I am in support of that win.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Appreciate your perspective. Commissioner Udaly.
I would like to address your concern. I'm the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Transportation. We are taking another look at our list of right-of-way properties across the city, but specifically in the Central East Side, and we're already in conversation with CEIC and Right to Survive if we do identify a property that would be appropriate for an alternative shelter site, deciding on the best spot and the best approach to setting that up. So I agree with you. We can't keep sweeping and displacing people who have nowhere to go, and we're working on it.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Sandra Comstock, and I've been very involved in the Compassionate Change District proposal. First, I'd like to thank Commissioners Hardesty, Udaly, and Fritz for investing precious time in beginning an important conversation that recognizes the legitimacy of our concerns regarding the historical harm business improvement districts have inflicted with private policing and cleaning programs that unfairly target those living on the streets. I am pleased that finally we have a commitment from the city and the Central East Side Industrial Council that we should establish a safe legal place where people can sleep without being disturbed. I'd like to add just, you know, as an addendum to the daycare woman's comments that you're never going to get rid of all the needles and sharp things if you don't give people places to be. Cleaning, we can clean and clean till the cows come home, but we need places where people can be. We need places where people can legally dispose of their trash, and we need places where people can legally go to the bathroom. So I'm also, I forgot. After I said the thing about being pleased about you guys agreeing to a safe sleep, I wanted to say that we're counting on city commissioners to ensure that this may truly come to pass. We really, really want this to happen. I'm also encouraged that the Central East Side Industrial Council has agreed to include three people with lived experiences of houselessness on the board, overseeing the allocation and use of ESD funds. We would like to see greater guaranteed representation of non-property owners to ensure that decisions made represent the majority of people who live and work in the Central East Side. This is a small beginning for ensuring democratic input and oversight of partially publicly funded services that substantially shape all residents' experiences of public space. In addition, I am glad that the Central East Side has taken up Commissioner Udaly's suggestion of a policing protocol that the Northwest Enforcement people will be receiving 4 hours of trauma-informed training from unhoused and housed training teams monthly. However, we remain disappointed that the ESD has not changed its commitment to spend the largest portion of their funds.
Just finish the sentence and then we got to move on.
Oh, okay.
On private sector security?
It's kind of...
Sorry, 2 minutes. Thank you. Next.
My name is Danielle Clock, and I'm the executive director of Sisters of the Road. This year marks 40 years that we have been actually working and organizing beside our unhoused neighbors. Every day that Sisters is open, we welcome 10 new first-time visitors to eat and contribute to the care of our space and community. Meanwhile, outside, arrests of people experiencing houselessness have reached more than half of all arrests in the city in 2017. Old Town has not received relief from the existing ESD there. When reviewing the claimed value of an enhanced service district, the words used mean different things to different communities. For many unhoused folks, clean means sweeps and loss of belongings. Safe means prioritizing the comfort of housed residents, while unhoused people are oppressed and driven out. Clean and safe, well, that means harassment and compounded trauma. Private security in the Central East Side Industrial District will recreate the problematic dynamic that Clean and Safe perpetuates in existing ESDs. The CEIC says that they want a truly innovative kind of ESD, but even with the negotiations that have moved forward with the Compassionate Change District Coalition, it will not adequately address the issues that lead to citations and arrests and compounded trauma of our unhoused neighbors, specifically safe sanctioned camping, garbage removal, access to porta potties. Portland loos are not adequate. Without taking the time to address these core needs before approval of this ESD, criminalization of poverty will continue. This is not compassionate. A sense of urgency and rushing is a characteristic of oppressive patriarchal culture. Sisters of the Road actively works to dismantle these oppressive structures. The rushed and pressured nature of these negotiations with the CEIC cannot have an outcome that truly takes into consideration all of the necessary factors that would contribute to an equitable outcome. We oppose the formation of the ESD, and we ask the council to do so as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Next three are Taylor Cass Talbot, Diana Rempe, and Hung Nam, and they'll be followed by Fran, Mike, Michelle, Randy Miller, and Brooke Kabotic.
Good morning. Well, now good afternoon. You're the first up this afternoon.
My name is Olivia Louise, but I'm reading the statement prepared by Taylor Talbot, who's an organizer with Trash for Peace. She says that many cities around the world provide subsidized regular waste collection services to the communities that cannot afford it. They do this by providing contracts to the organizations of waste workers who come from these communities. In these cities, such services are not considered innovative, but they are rather a matter of basic sanitation and human dignity. There is a lot of energy in Portland around developing decentralized waste collection pilots that serve the city's houseless communities. She says that the CEIC is an area that would be an ideal place to begin such a pilot, and she hopes that it will attract ongoing financial support. But she does ask for an extension so that we can continue collaborative talks and workshop some of these proposals in the name of harm reduction. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm actually very interested in these kinds of models. If Taylor could reach out to me and maybe have some correspondence with me and send me some of the ideas that are being used elsewhere, I'd be very interested in seeing that. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Hyung Nam, and I'm speaking as a representative for the Portland Metro People's Coalition, which represents a growing coalition of about 20 community organizations, including the Portland Association of Teachers, of which I'm a member. And in a subcommittee of the PAT, we gave unanimous support for the concepts within the Compassionate Change District, and the executive board is deciding on that this afternoon. We expect that they will support our concepts. And I also personally live within six blocks of the Central East Side and go to the Central East Side all the time. So we have some serious concerns about just ESDs and bids in general. As you may have seen in the Western Regional Advocacy Project's report with the Berkeley Law Center in California, they really have been about privatized and public policing, criminalizing homeless people and excluding people from cities. And these districts gentrify areas, and you know, when we hear these concepts about or idea words about livability, security, or cleanup, we have to ask, you know, for whom, right? When we talk about cleaning up trash or property, whose trash, whose property? And we're concerned that all must have a right to the city, and we have some serious reservations about these kind of public-private districts. With that said, and then one other thing, major concerns and fears about the new opportunity zone and expected gentrification with billions of dollars pouring into Portland. With that said, I want to thank Commissioners Hardesty, Udaly, and Fritz for really working with the community on making some significant amendments here. And one of the ones that I want to really highlight is we really need a firm, safe sleep camp tied to sanitation and lockers and services, because you know at the heart of this, if that falls through the cracks, like what's happened with Right to Dream 2, none of this really means anything.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Diana Rempe. I'm a staff member and street librarian at Street Books. I want to thank the commissioners Udaly, Fritz, and Hardesty for all your hard work on this process. Right now, I'd like to speak briefly to process around the whole ESD creation. StreetBooks is a bicycle-powered mobile library serving people who live outside. For the past 9 years, we've been out on the streets of Portland bringing books, glasses, and good conversation to folks forced to the margins of our city. For 8 of those years, we've run 2 regular shifts in the Central out East Side on the sidewalk in front of St. Francis Dining Hall and at the Martin Luther King Jr. Workers' Center. For the past year, our headquarters has been on Southeast Stark in the St. Francis Park apartment, so we are part of the Central East Side community. The consistent time on the streets of Portland has offered us a unique view into the lives of people who are unhoused in this city. Over the years, we've had thousands of conversations with our library patrons, many of whom we've known for many years. And while we're not always talking about the material circumstances of their lives, we spend much of our time talking about literature and ideas. It's clear that finding a safe place to sleep, means for regular hygiene, is an enormous challenge for people living outside. And, of course, the big need for people living outside is stable, affordable housing. Our library patrons are part of the houseless community, and to be clear, the houseless community is a true community. Many of our library patrons have lived here for decades, some their entire lives, and they are one of the primary stakeholders in this conversation about the CEIC's proposal. They are residents of Southeast Portland, regardless of the structure or lack of it over their heads, and yet they've been entirely excluded in the process of making a plan that will affect them more than anyone else in the city. I'm going to run out of time. So just, we appreciate the stated goal of having representation on the board and the safety committee, but given the process leading up to the proposal of the ESD, we question both the viability of this actually happening as well as what the experience should look like if houseless people are brought onto the board. It feels like tokenism. We worry that the board proposal doesn't shift the balance of power on the board in any meaningful way. If you look at a quick glance of the makeup of the board, it shows that houseless folks will remain a small minority who will likely occupy a position they're very familiar with, which is that of having no power and being ignored.
Thank you. So appreciate it. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
First of all, thank you for what StreetBooks does. And if anybody is not familiar with StreetBooks, go Google it and give them donations of books and or money. It's really helpful. I appreciate your concerns about the composition of the board. I note that the houseless individuals who would serve would be nominated by businesses and nonprofits. So I want to go on the record as saying I hope that StreetBooks gets to nominate, and also that, yes, you're right. I think with any new board, it's really important to have a good onboarding process and to make sure that particularly marginalized individuals feel comfortable being there. I remember a process we had at St. Philip Neri a few years ago, which was not at all welcoming for people who live outside. I hope that there's been some growth since then, and I'm just hoping that StreetBooks will continue to be a partner for those individuals to make sure that they succeed on the board.
Thank you, and I just hope that there will be a stated and spelled out process for how this will take place, both the nomination but also the support of people once they're on the board, because it's really asked a lot of someone to come bringing all of their stuff and sit in a meeting regularly and feel alone and unheard. And so we can't support this until we understand how this is going to play out.
I appreciate you raising that concern. Thank
you. Next three, please. Are Fran Michelle, Randy Miller, and Brooke Kabotic. And they'll be followed by Dan Yates, Andy Munson, and Tim Merrily.
Very good. Good afternoon.
Okay. My name is Fran Michelle. I'm a homeowner in the Buckman neighborhood in a duplex that I own and rent. It's just a couple blocks outside of the boundary of the proposed enhanced services district. I am opposed to the privatizing of public services, particularly the idea of private security forces, and to the lack of democratic and open process involved in the Central East Side Industrial Council's proposal. I had written something really short and concise, but then you throw all this new stuff, and part of my... I'm less organized than I thought I was going to be. Part of my concern is that this feels very rushed. Although the CEIC has been working on it for 2 years, the Compassionate Change District Coalition has been working on this for months and came up with a great proposal, I thought. And I appreciate that Commissioners Hardesty and Fritz and you, Daly, and your staffs have been working on this very hard for the last few weeks. But this still feels rushed. We have not, we did, the public comment period is sort of undermined by not having actually had access to the document on which you're voting. We're making guesses. I think that one of my suggestions, although I oppose the idea of turning over public money, which is essentially taxation, to a private group, the ESD is, as the CEIC stresses, created, funded, and controlled by district businesses and property owners, and I don't think that truly democratic cities have a property qualification for genuine engagement. So that concerns me. Given that...
You have 30 seconds.
More money should be going to providing toilets, safe sleep spaces, 24-hour storage, and less money should be going to so-called security forces, ambassadors, safety, whatever it's called, the rent-a-cops. There should be crisis intervention experts with every one of those teams, not just a portion of the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
And folks, you should sunset it after a year or 6 months.
Okay. I apologize that we're on a two-minute time frame. It's just we had over 50 people sign up, and the council has a long agenda. And I know it's hard to get it in 2 minutes, and I appreciate people being diligent about the time frame. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Randy Miller, property owner in the Central East Side.
Sorry, you turned your mic off. You need to hit that button.
Randy, just push the button in front.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Okay, yeah,
good. Randy Miller, Central East Side property owner. About 35 years ago, the city asked me to partner with it on publicly owned land to develop the Produce Row area, so I've been there as a civic booster ever since. The only thing I really have to add here is the emphasis that this is a living document, and I think it's already been proven based upon what you all have indicated here today, and that's what we intend to do and continue. But I think that the real emphasis I'd like to be able to provide is the fact that all of you, and some of you have attended, and all of you know about the best practice trips that I've led over the last 32 years to take a look at public policy in other cities and what we can learn from them, either to support what we're trying to do or to avoid it. Our next trip, by the way, is to the Bay Area. You know, a year ago, there was two polls that showed the three biggest concerns of Portland area citizens: houselessness, cost of housing, transportation. You all know that. There's been no area of the country that has been challenged more than the Bay Area in these three issues. They have been failing at an awful lot of them, but they're also the hotbed of innovation on the planet, and some brand new ideas are being initiated and generated down there. So we and other city leaders, which are all invited to attend, as you know, are going down there to take a look at what we can learn. And because this is a living document, when we get back, we'll continue to explore ideas like this to see what we can add to this, to add to the dynamics that have already been discussed, as you've heard in this testimony today. So I really hope that you believe in us and can support us for this ESD initiative.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And I did it in less than 2 minutes.
You did. Good afternoon.
Hi. Hello, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. Thank you for having me here. My name is Brooke Kabatek. I'm with SPP Properties, and we manage the Locust Building, which is in the Central East Side. I was here a year ago and testified for the safety of the Central East Side, expressed urgent concern for the users of the district. Since that time, I've been assaulted. A man was stabbed across the street from the building, our building. And one of our tenants who was attending to outside tables, we have restaurants on the bottom floor, across the street during the dinner hour, saw a street brawl with like six people. And he's a big guy. He went over to go break it up. And as he's doing that, finds that a man is wielding like a 7-inch hunter's knife. So where he thinks he's doing something really great to, you know, go help people and just eliminate the danger, he leaves that day just shaking in fear that, like, one wrong move and he could have been stabbed or seriously injured or killed. So this ESD to us expresses, you know, significant impact in the safety of the users of our building, the patrons, the unhoused. We're across the street from City Team Ministries. Everybody needs this to be able to just kind of maintain and feel safe in the neighborhood. So we're definitely for the ESD, and we urge you to be for the ESD also. So
thank you. Appreciate it, both of you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Dan Yates, Andy Munson, and Tim Merrily, and they'll be followed by Mook Nyers, Kimberly Mason, and Kat Latimer.
Good afternoon, Mr. Yates. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Good morning, Mayor, commissioners. As a man of few words, I just want to say I support the ESD. I've worked on it for 2 years. I'm a board member of the Central East Side. I hope you all support it. I think I have nothing to really add to the great arguments that have already been made. So thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good morning, Mayor and commissioners.
You mean poke the button. There you go.
Just leave the mics on when you come up. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Andy Munson, and I manage my family's building in the Central East Side. My great-great-aunts, the Shogren sisters, were well-known dressmakers in the Portland area, and the building I manage has been in our family since 1925. May and Ann Shogren are now buried at Riverview Cemetery at the end of the Selwood Bridge, where I visit from time to take in Portland's history. My experience in the Central East Side started back in 2003, when for a summer job, my dad hired me to demo the building. It was a gritty area at the time and a gritty job, but soon it was transformed and three retail showrooms popped up on Grand Avenue, bringing life to the area and sparking some big change. Tillicum Crossing now connects pedestrians to the east side, and many of the rougher buildings are being renovated. Over the years, we have seen businesses successfully grow out of our space and the neighborhood transform block by block. Recently, there's been a shift. I have been harassed while cleaning up graffiti. We've had people defecate by our doors, and there have been three attempted break-ins. Conversations with the overworked police don't yield any change. We desperately need help. It's not too late to reverse this shift. With the Enhanced Services District, we can make the area safer, align those in need with assistance, and reduce criminal element that has no place in this city. My dad, the man who introduced me to this area, passed away in August. I took his warm coats to the City Team shelter on Grand Avenue to help give back to the community. It's time the Central East Side gets some help to preserve my dad's legacy and those that came before him. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Merrill. I'm an architect, and I volunteered years ago to work on Dignity Village, and as a result of that positive experience, I came back and worked a couple of years ago on the R2-D2 site over in the Central East Side. Spent a year or so working on that, and as a result, it failed, and I've been kind of in a funk since then because I really thought the amenities that were being offered was what we really needed. So I took a tour of the R2-D2 site at the new location, and along with a bunch of members of the board of Central East Side, and I found it really encouraging that they are enthused to do something over there that actually is successful. And so I would like to offer my plea that you take a look at this seriously and pass it. I think this is a great opportunity to make a statement on the east side that would be beneficial to the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here, all three of you. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you so much for all you did to help try to get the 3rd and Harrison site to work, and I very much appreciate your ongoing engagement. I'm glad you got to go see the new site.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Mook Nyers, Kimberly Mason, and Kat Latimer, and they'll be followed by Emily Gilbert, Claude Gilbert, and Mike O'Mahony.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Nyers. I'm a precinct committee person with the Democratic Party, lead the Basic Needs and Human Rights Study Group, and sit on the platform committee with the Multnomah County Democrats. We recommend that the City Council strengthen its resolve for a compassionate change district and resist any effort by the CEIC to direct public funds outside of the Enhanced Service District, control board appointments, or restrict vital basic needs to our houseless community members. The Central Committee of the Multnomah County Democrats met on January 10th, 2019, and after hearing presentations from both CEIC and CCD members, voted unanimously to support the CCD's plan. We recommend that all parts of the CCD be written into the ESD, and we call for the inclusion of CCD members as stakeholders to ensure an equitable, transparent, and accountable process for program implementation. Additionally, we call on the city to ensure that through the ESD's implementation, it is taking measures to avoid harm to our most vulnerable residents and safeguard the well-being of unhoused and housed residents, workers, and businesses in the district alike. We would like to thank Commissioner Hardesty for her willingness to mediate a deal on the ESD, and Commissioner Udale and Fritz for your time on this issue as well. Our city is experiencing a housing emergency, and it is imperative that we act with urgency, compassion, and justice. It is our hope that you will all continue to draw on the experiences of Right to Survive, Sisters of the Road, FAWS, along with other advocacy groups in the CCD coalition to help write and direct policy. The CCD is only a modest stopgap towards a vision of Portland that respects housing as a human right. We agree with the CCD's proposal's assessments that access to waste management, toilets, showers, laundry, peer-run trauma-informed community spaces, stable sleep areas, car camping programs, along with access to green spaces will lead to better outcomes for not just our houseless community members, but all stakeholders in the proposed ESD
and
our city. Thank
Mayor,
you.
Commissioner Daly.
I just want to quickly ask what you meant by directing public funds outside of the...
Yes, so as I understood and read in the proposal, the CEIC was asking the city to match funds to parts of the ESD. Is that correct? Is that still part of the proposal?
I don't think so.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. There is a request that the city work with the CEIC to help identify laundry service, mobile laundry, and mobile restrooms, but that is not what's being voted on today. That's going to be work that has to take place outside of this body.
Okay, I just saw it in the proposal, so I thought I'd address it.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Catherine Latimer Rainiel, and I work as a registered nurse in a local ER that receives patients from the Central East Side. I support the Compassionate Change District Plan. I'm unintentionally becoming an expert in the human and emergency service cost of houseless camp sweeps by police currently taking place, otherwise known as cleaning. Every time there's a sweep in our ER, quickly fills up. People swallow lethal amounts of drugs. They sometimes jump off high walls or even bridges to get away and end up coming to us as a trauma patient. Many folks try to find another space just to exist or to camp again and end up running into other people competing for the same space, which can have violent outcomes and create more patients. They will again come to us. Many lose everything they own to keep themselves warm and cannot find or will not find space in a shelter. My patients tell me shelters are dangerous both physically, mostly to women, and they often get their much-needed medications stolen. When our ER beds are fully occupied, so some patients having a heart attack or stroke end up getting medical workups in the lobby. This ends up placing us on ambulance divert, which can also be dangerous for everyone, as we are one of the only level 2 hospitals in the city. Last week, one young officer left a patient that had a serious threat of possible intubation handcuffed to a bed for 15 minutes without a key to unlock the cuffs as they went outside the department to see if this warrant was really worth it. The houseless have good reasons not to trust the police, security, or anyone in uniform. We all know trust has to be earned, and even the most seasoned social workers can work extremely hard for a very long time to earn trust and connect people to services. Then, if people are actually connected to services, they are most often full and unavailable. When people can't meet Maslow's basic needs, how do we expect them to pay fines or thousands of dollars for an ER bill? These medical costs, along with the hours spent in police salary, will get passed on to the taxpayer in one form or another. It will show up in higher hospital bills for everyone, or more police hours to address the aftermath, the trauma that it causes the houseless community. I'm almost done. Members
You're
will
done.
Show
Thank
up
you.
And...
Just Next three, please.
I just want to give you some...
intense clothing and food without any money.
Commissioner Fritz.
The safety ambassadors will have no authority to move people along.
Next three, please.
Next
three, please. Thank you for your testimony. Next three, please.
Emily Gilbert, Claude Gilbert, and I believe it's Duncan Mike O'Mahony, and they'll be followed by Sarah Rudolph, Patricia Kohlberg, and Edith Gillis.
Good afternoon.
My name is Emily Gilbert. I am a resident of the Central East Side. I'm heartened to see the CIC recognizing Right to Survive and VAWS's work in providing material support within our district that changes and saves lives. I support the CIC's decision to open up the Governing Board and Oversight Committee to include them in decision-making, and I'm especially thankful to Commissioner Hardesty for emphasizing the necessity of meaningful participation through representation.